Live Creative Now, Episode 11.
Welcome to Live Creative Now with Melissa Dinwiddie, a weekly podcast to inspire you to create your art and share your work, because that's how you will change the world.
Hey, brilliant. This is Live Creative Now, and I'm Melissa Dinwiddie, passion pluralite artist, happiness catalyst, and creativity instigator, here to address all your questions about living a full color creative life. I have got a very special bonus episode for you today. Instead of answering questions, talking about creativity issues, I'm going to spend the bulk of this podcast episode sharing with you a recording of a live concert that I gave recently at a club in Martinez, California called Armando's. It was on July 6th, 2015. And my husband, known on my blog, Living a Creative Life, and here on the Live Creative Now podcast as Miracle Man, or MM for short, he was kind enough to prop up my iPhone and capture the entire set on video, and I thought it would be really fun to share it with you. But, or shall I say, and because I'm sharing this for the podcast, which is of course aimed at getting you creating, before I get to the performance, I wanted to take this opportunity to tell you that what you see here, if you're watching the video, or what you hear here, if you're listening to the podcast, is not in any way indicative of how I started out, or even how I was 10 or 15 years ago. I was not a born performer. I did not start out comfortable in front of a crowd, nor did I start out with a strong singing voice. All of this is the product of years and decades of practice. When I started performing, I really kind of sucked. My first several dozen, possibly hundreds of times that I got on stage, my mouth was so dry and my diaphragm was so paralyzed that I could barely make a sound. And I remember I used to shake like a leaf. I would literally be shaking so hard. I remember when I started playing with a guitar or ukulele on stage, my hands shook so hard that I really couldn't play. I remember the very first time in front of an audience playing guitar and singing at the same time, I could not get my fingers to land on the strings the way they were supposed to because there was so much adrenaline coursing through my veins and making me shake. And until about 2009 or 2010, I didn't have much of a head voice. I couldn't sing high in my range with any power whatsoever. And I didn't have a whole lot of control over my singing voice. And it took years of voice lessons and doing daily vocal exercises to learn how to sing well. It's just like building up your biceps or any muscle on your body. You have to go to the gym and you have to lift weights, right? Learning to sing is the same thing. You have to learn to use the muscle of your vocal cords, and it's a learnable skill. All of this is to say that performers and artists of all kinds are made, not born. And they are made through effort, through persistent effort. You have to start out sucky in order to get unsucky. You're crappy at first because you're a beginner. And of course, you want to be great and you strive to be great, but you're a beginner. So at first, all you're capable of producing is pretty much crap, but that's okay. You have to start out making crap first. And remember, we need that crap. We need crap in order to fertilize the good stuff. It's the only way to get to the good stuff. So don't be afraid of making crap. My advice is make crap daily. And that is not to say that you're going to go be sloppy, but go do your best work that you're capable of right now, knowing that it's not going to be perfect, that it's not even going to be great, that it might not even be good. Just let yourself go do it. If you are listening on the podcast and you'd like to see video, just go to livecreativenow.com/011 for episode 11. That's livecreativenow.com/011. And now, on with the show.
Live creative now.
Thank you, Tom, and thank you, Roy, and thank you, Alan. It's such a treat to be here. I was having a conversation with Georgia and Tom not long after I arrived this evening, and saying how I started performing, as I mentioned in this little Q&A, as a jazz singer. And a lot of the gigs that one gets as a jazz singer are at restaurants and bars and clubs where people are not really paying much attention. And thank you. And when I started writing songs, or when I restarted writing songs after my almost 40-year hiatus or whatever it was, I got very tired of being audio wallpaper. And so it's such a treat to play for a true listening room like this. What a great spot. You guys are really lucky to have this place. So as I was saying first of all, you know, Chris, would you just come sing backgrounds for me? I mean, my God, isn't this man amazing? His voice? I want you to sing backgrounds for me. You're incredible. No, I don't have any charts, unfortunately. There we go. Okay, you can hear the ukulele. So I started writing songs during a period of my life where I was single and looking very lonely. And in fact, I wasn't actually that lonely, because I got online and I started going on all kinds of dates looking for the right guy. And between, May of 2006 and December of 2008, 2.5 year period, I went on no fewer than 57 first dates. No lie. And every so often, while I was out and about, you know, scoping everywhere I would go, he looks cute. Ooh, look at him. You know that feeling when you're in a club or in a grocery store or a party or someplace and you see somebody across a crowded room and you just cannot take your eyes off of them? You know that feeling? Because they are so beautiful. I call that eye candy. Eye candy is my favorite treat. No calories, but tasty and sweet. It's rude to stare though, so please be discreet. Whenever you meet eye candy, he's such a hottie. Just to look at him makes me feel naughty. Eye candy, I can't look away. Don't care if he's gay, eye candy. Scientists say that it's just not true, that happiness is greater for the beautiful few. But I have to admit, between you and me, given a choice, I'd still rather be delicious eye candy. The beautiful peeps have to deal with all the crazies and creeps. There are advantages to not being one. No one assumes you're just dumb eye candy. Hollywood knows
gets you to shows. You'll tolerate a terrible plot as long as it's got eye candy. Am I right? Eye candy is subjective, it's true. What's hot to me might not be to you. Brangelina doesn't do much for me, but to you he might be. I mean, to you she might be. I mean, to you it might be eye candy. There's a multi-billion-dollar industry that profits off of folks like you and me, who spend all our time and energy and hard-earned cash just trying to be somebody's eye candy. We're wired that way. If you think about it, you're here today because a long, long time ago, your dad saw your mom and said, "Om nom nom, eye candy. I want some of that eye candy. Can't get enough eye candy. Everyone loves eye candy." Om nom nom.
Thank you. So the next song I'm going to play for you is the first official song that I wrote after my Hat Cat song that I wrote inspired by a book that was inspired by an episode of a television show you might be familiar with called Sex and the City. There was an episode in which anytime one of the women had an issue with a guy, the reason why things were not working out was because he just wasn't that into them. So I was in a bookstore and I was browsing the shelves trying to understand men, which I still don't understand, and I found this book and I wrote a song about it. You went out on a date. You think he's really great. He hasn't called. You don't know what to do. Perhaps he's sick or maybe busy. But ask yourself, girl, really is he? Truth is, he's just not that into you. You can laugh. That cute guy at your gym. For months you've pined for him. You laugh and flirt and smile, and he does too. You like each other, there's no doubt. But if the guy won't ask you out, face it, he's just not that into you. A man's a simple creature. It's really not that hard to figure out an answer, no or yes. Here's a little secret that may catch you off guard. A guy who's into you won't make you guess. No, he won't. He calls you on the phone to see if you're alone. He drops by for an hour, or maybe two. You start to wonder, is this all? Are you just a booty call? Girlfriend, he's just not that into you. Trumpet solo. Say I do, but he says even with a halter, you'll never drag him to the altar, which tells me he's just not that into you. Your crazy man about him just can't live without him, though he has other lovers, quite a few. He says he just can't stick with one. My advice to you is run, 'cause this one is just not that into you. Girls, why do we settle for anything that's less than everything we know that we deserve? You tell me that you love him, and yet you still confess you'd leave him if you only had the nerve. You had a little fling, you knew he wore a ring, but that's okay. He swears he loves you too. You know you'd have the perfect life if he would only leave his wife. Wake up, he's just not that into you. You'll be better in the long run. Just accept that he's the wrong one. Girlfriend, he's just not that into you. It's funny, every time I play that song, thank you, by the way, I can always tell if it's an audience of couples or an audience of singles. Because if it's single women, they are busting a gut laughing. And if it's couples, they're all freaked out and terrified. So congratulations for being coupled up. So, anybody out there ever done any online dating, or have all you been coupled up since before? Oh, somebody's done some online. Few, raise them high, raise them proud. Yes, yes, we are the many nowadays. Many of my 57 first dates during that 2.5 year period, and many other dates during other periods before and after that 2.5 year period were online dating. There's nothing to be ashamed of. It's how many people meet their spouses nowadays. However, those of you who have gone online dating, and I can point all of you out because you raise your hands, you know that you do enough of it, and what happens? It gives you the blues. And this is the title track to my album, Online Dating Blues. Late one night, you're all alone at your machine. Suddenly a website appears on your screen. It's a dating site, you know the kind. You think, what have I got to lose? Well, $34.99 a month, it turns out. That's how it starts. You got the online dating blues, yeah. So you type in your credit card to start shopping for men. You check off what you're looking for. Rich and thin. Only three guys pop up. And honestly, if you had to choose, maybe being single isn't so bad after all, you know what I'm saying? That's how it goes. You've got the online dating blues, yeah. You check your mailbox in the morning, you stay up late at night. You know you should be working, but instead you're on the site, reading profiles and checking email every hour for any news on the hour and the half hour too. That's how it goes. You got the online dating blues. Well, now you browsed 3 dozen profiles and you're starting to wonder why all of the men your age want someone 15 years younger. It's enough to make a girl just want to give up and go out shopping for shoes. Time for a little retail therapy. That's when you know you've got the online dating blues. You know what's coming next? Most of the time you lose, but you keep trying for that jackpot. That's how it goes. You get the online dating blues. Now you are deep in correspondence, the best you've had in years. You start to get your hopes up, then the guy just disappears. He won't return your emails, your phone calls. It's like he handed you a Rubik's Cube. Now you're obsessing, driving yourself crazy trying to figure it out. That's how it goes. You got the online dating blues. Here we go. You check your mailbox in the morning. You spam late at night. You know you should be working, but instead you're on the site. Reading profiles and checking email every hour for any news. Oh hell, you know you're checking it every 5 minutes. That's how it goes. You got the online dating blues. Well, now you finally get a date, but when he walks in the door, you realize his pictures are from 50 pounds ago. He wasn't a string bean then. I guess it's just called paying your dues. This kind of thing happens to everyone online eventually. That's how it goes. You got the online dating. That's how it goes. You got the online dating. That's how it goes. You got the online dating. Online dating.
Oh,
can stay up as late as I want, unplug the alarm clock. My only goal is to have some fun. I wanna sleep in late, have breakfast in bed, or maybe read a book or take a nap instead, cause I need a vacation. I've been working too hard for too long. I need a vacation. I've been working too hard for too long. I need a vacation. I've been working too hard for too long.
Thank you. So during this long stretch of singlehood, there was a period of being in a relationship. Actually, at the end of that, 2006 to 2008, I got sort of swept off my feet by a man who later proved himself to be unworthy of my affections. But he lived with me for 14 months or so, and during that period, when I was with the now known as the lousy ex-boyfriend, I wrote a song about being single during the holidays and when I was not single. It is my one and only holiday song, and we will call this Christmas Time in July, and I will sing for you my holiday song. It sucks being single at Christmas when everyone else is in pairs. You dread going home where your dad and your mom will lament that you still have no heirs. No heirs. And they never tire of telling you that all of their friends have grandchildren by now. You're the object of everyone's pity. They assume that you can't get a date. It feels like you're cursed. If you're Jewish, it's worse, because instead of just one night, there's eight. Happy Hanukkah. Though in case you didn't know by now, Hanukkah is not the Jewish equivalent of Christmas. In fact, it's a very minor holiday on the Jewish calendar, and the only reason it's made a big deal of in America is because of its proximity to Christmas. And we Jews get a little touchy about that subject. And yes, I'm Jewish, even though you don't think I look Jewish, and even though my last name doesn't sound Jewish. And the only reason I'm using it in this song is for the comedic value. You avoid your company party, or just make an appearance then leave. You feel like a freak, and there's less than 3 weeks to find a date for everybody. New Year's Eve.
So
2010, I went to a music camp that is very, very dear to my heart, that I've been to a number of times, called California Coast Music Camp, which may be to what I owe this gig tonight. I'm not sure, but the person who recommended me to Tom, I think I might have met them at CCMC. In any case, every year I'd go and they had a ukulele class, but I played my guitar very, very badly, mostly as a singer who was desperately trying to learn how to play the guitar. Jazz chords on the guitar are very, very hard, I have to tell you. And this one year, for some reason, the ukulele class, that I was just inexorably drawn to it, and I don't know why, but I just had to take this ukulele class, but I didn't have a ukulele, so I mentioned to somebody that I wanted to take the class, and he said, oh, I have a ukulele you can use for the whole week. So I spent the week strumming my ukulele, his ukulele, under the redwoods, and it was so blissful, and this instrument, it's just so cute, and it's so portable, and it's only got four strings, and I only have four fingers, so it's so much easier to play than the guitar, and I commenced an affair with the ukulele, and I stopped at a music store on the way home, and I bought this ukulele, and I immediately wrote an ode to it, which I will play for you now. I was looking for a love to call my own, or one that won't keep me hanging by the phone. I've been on a lot of dates, and I've kissed a lot of frogs, and I've come to the conclusion that most men are dogs. Apologies to any nice guys out there in the audience. There might be one or two. Finding a good one is something of a fluke, but I found a solution. I got me a ukulele. Keeps me up all night, my ukulele. Makes me feel alright. My little ukulele never leaves me feeling lonely or sad. So I'm sorry, boys, but my ukulele might just be the best love I've ever had. My ukulele feels so good in my arms, and never gets seduced by other women's charms. All I have to do is tickle his strings, and he whispers in my ear the sweetest little things. And though he doesn't have any hands or a tongue, when I'm wearing a strap, my uke is really well hung. My ukulele makes me feel so good. My ukulele's got really nice wood. My little ukulele never leaves me feeling unsatisfied. How many guys can you say that about, ladies? My ukulele might just be the best love I've ever tried. Oh, yeah. Nowhere near as big as my guitar. sizes and everything. And besides, we can have a lot more fun in the back of my car. I think I'll bring my ukulele home to meet my mom and dad. Cause my ukulele might just be the best, better than all the rest. One more song. This is dedicated to all the ladies out there who have ever tried to lose that last 5 pounds. It's called The Last 5 Pounds. If only I could lose the last 5 pounds on my thighs, my life would be complete, I know it. But first, maybe just one tiny little injection right between the eyes, cause in addition to my size, I'm really not so happy with the skin that I am in. Maybe some Botox would improve that. Who needs to express emotions on their face when it keeps you looking young a few years more? Because we all know that the most important thing for a girl is to be beautiful, and beautiful equals thin and young. When I look back upon my life when I am older, who cares what I've accomplished as long as I look good? If only I could stop eating food and just live on air, perhaps my skinny jeans would finally fit me. I'd have to stop going to parties, but hell, it would be worth it if only I could lose the last 5 pounds.
Parties, but hell, it would be worth it if only I could lose the last 5 pounds. If only
So that's it. That's a wrap. Thank you so much for joining me today. If you are getting value out of this podcast, please leave a review on iTunes. It would mean so much to me. Ratings and reviews make a huge difference in how the show is ranked, and that makes a big difference in where it appears in the iTunes store. So it makes a huge difference in helping other people find it. And that helps grow the creative uprising. So you can play a really important role in this movement simply by leaving an iTunes review. Plus, I would be so profoundly grateful, eternally grateful. Really, really appreciate it. Also, if you have a question about living a full-color creative life that you'd like to hear me address on the show, type it into your review, and you might just hear it featured on a future episode. Because to incentivize you to leave a review, I prioritize questions that are left in iTunes reviews. If you want me to give you a shout out, if I use your question on the show, be sure to include your Twitter ID. And if you'd like your voice on the show, I have a way that you can leave me a voice message. Just go to livecreativenow.com/questions and leave a voice message. But be sure to head on over to iTunes and subscribe and leave a review and leave your question in the review as well, because that's how I prioritize questions. So, and don't forget that right now I'm running a contest. So if you subscribe and leave a review on iTunes and send an email to me and my team at hello@livecreativenow.com, you will be entered to win one of many valuable prizes, including The Art of Work, a book by Jeff Goins, and copies of my original CDs, Online Dating Blues, and My Ukulele, The Naked Sessions, autographed by me, and a full-color poster, 12 by 18 inch poster of my Creative Sandbox Rules, aka Keys to Creative Flow. And you could also win a half-hour one-on-one session with me to borrow my brain for whatever you want. So that's it. Thanks again for joining me, and until next time, go get creating. Mwah! Live creative now. Subscribe at livecreativenow.com.